Right.
Good morning, everybody. Mm-hmm. All right, my name is David Polsky. I'd like to thank everybody else from the panel for being here, the organizer of the session, as well as my co-author, Allison Rosenthal. Before we start, I want to give myself a little bit of an introduction to kind of give some context around this presentation. Like I said, my name is David Polsky. I'm an attorney, and I work with the Office of the Inspector General for the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. The Office of the Inspector General was created in 1993 by the Illinois General Assembly to reform and strengthen the child welfare system. Our office is separate and independent from the operations of the Department of Children and Family Services. My boss, the Inspector General, is appointed directly by the governor. And our chief mandate is to investigate all complaints of misconduct and malfeasance by employees of the department or contractors with the department. In addition, the Office of the Inspector General investigates the death and serious injury of all Illinois children whose families were involved in the child welfare system within the previous 12 months, in addition to sitting in an ex officio position on the Illinois Child Death Review Team Executive Council. So our office receives notifications from the Illinois State Central Register of all child deaths and serious physical injuries that meet the criteria of involvement within the past 12 months. Pursuant to our mandate, we make recommendations to the director, both individual and systemic recommendations, as well as submit an annual report to the governor and the Illinois General Assembly. The recommendations our office makes are intended to strengthen the child welfare system and to reduce the incidence of infant mortality. So when I say child welfare system, in Illinois, what I'm referring to is the Department of Children and Family Services, which is the state agency that's responsible for accepting reports of suspected abuse or neglect, as well as investigating those reports. So the department accepts reports from the public or from mandated reporters, individuals like doctors or teachers, who have a legal statutory obligation to report suspicions of abuse or neglect. After conducting an investigation, if the department determines the evidence suggests the abuse and neglect occurred, the perpetrator is indicated and their name is included on the registry. So the only way to appeal inclusion in the registry is to file a written notice and go before an administrative law judge. So this project came about in 2011 when the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services began investigating and indicating parents for death by neglect when their infant died while co-sleeping or in an unsafe sleep environment. This happened even when there was no evidence of substance use or other factors suggesting abuse or neglect. In effect, what this did was label co-sleeping parents negligent despite the absence of legal precedent and serious ongoing debate in the health community about the risks and benefit of co-sleeping. The practice was really instituted in response to a perceived increase in the number of infants dying in unsafe sleep environments. When the Office of the Inspector General learned about this practice, we immediately instituted a systemic review and analysis. We reinvestigated 143 cases and emphatically recommended the department immediately suspend this practice and cease investigating families after a sleep-related infant death if there was no suspicion of abuse or neglect reported. The Office of the Inspector General recommended that instead of promoting a retroactive and punitive child welfare response to infant co-sleeping deaths, the state of Illinois needs to institute a proactive public health approach to provide targeted education to families. So this presentation, in summary, is really intended to provide an overview of how Illinois child welfare system attempted to address infant co-sleeping deaths, what some problematic aspects of that implementation were, and why a targeted public health approach is really needed to address this issue. So I have no financial relationships to disclose. Now, in the interest of time, I really want to briefly summarize some of the research that's presented here. As I mentioned earlier, the department's practice in terms of opening investigations for families was in response to a perceived increase in the number of children dying in unsafe sleep environments. After investigation, what the Office of the Inspector General determined was that the number of children in Illinois who pass away in infancy for sleep-related causes is remaining pretty much consistent. What is changing, however, is the way these deaths are being classified. And that is due a lot to the efforts of organizations like the CDC and the National Association of Medical Examiners to increase standardization in terms of scene investigations for coroners and medical examiners, forensic pathologists, and to kind of standardize the reporting requirements. So what this slide here is showing you guys the way that historically the practice has been until 2011. So until 2011, when there was a sleep-related infant death, the Cook County Medical Examiner or the county coroner conducts a death investigation to determine the cause and the manner of death. In Illinois, the local coroner or medical examiner has the primary jurisdiction by law to conduct a death investigation. As I mentioned earlier, from coroners and medical examiners are mandated reporters, so they have a legal obligation to report any suspicion of abuse or neglect that they come across. As part of the death investigation conducted by a medical examiner or a coroner, a social history of the child is gathered, which includes contacting the Department of Children and Family Services State Central Registry to determine whether or not the child or family had any former involvement with the department. Again, this is separate from a call that would be alleging any abuse or neglect that the coroner suspected. When the State Central Registry had received notification, which again is a legal requirement by law, coroners are required to send a death certificate monthly for all deaths of Illinois children to the Department of Children and Family Services. There was some concern those weren't being received in a timely manner, so in addition, now they call. Informally, what happened was those deaths were documented in an unusual incident report, and they were taken for record-keeping purposes only. The result was that no child protection was open in terms of the family. So starting in 2011 with this new practice, the State Central Register began taking calls involving co-sleeping, again, where there's no suspicion of abuse or neglect being reported. And to kind of illustrate the kinds of cases that are being exampled, I have a case to share with you that's currently being investigated, and it's the death of a 10-hour-old infant in the hospital. The hospital nurse called the State Central Registry to make the death notification with no suspicion of abuse or neglect, and the nurse reported that the coroner suspected the baby died of asphyxiation after the mother fell asleep breastfeeding in the hospital bed. The mother reportedly had a difficult birth and lost quite a bit of blood. And again, that's a case that formerly would have been kept for record-keeping purposes only, but under this current practice, there's an open child protection investigation to determine whether or not there was abuse or neglect in that child's death. So what the parents are being investigated for is death by neglect, which is statutorily defined as the blatant disregard of parental responsibilities that results in a child's death. Blatant disregard, again, is a term that comes from the Illinois statute defined by the General Assembly, which means an incident with a real significant and imminent risk of harm would be so obvious to a reasonable parent that it is unlikely that that reasonable parent would expose the child to the danger without exercising precautionary measures to protect the child from harm. So I think the last presentation really did an excellent job of setting up some of the next parts of this argument, which is that in our review and analysis of this issue, the Office of the Inspector General determined there's a very, very problematic equating blatant disregard and co-sleeping. As you heard, the reasons parents choose to co-sleep often involve comforting their infant, promoting healthy bonding, promoting breastfeeding, and there is a lot of concern, as was highlighted in the previous presentation, that a prohibition on co-sleeping could reduce the incidence of breastfeeding, which could lead to poor health outcomes for children. Again, in the research the Office of the Inspector General conducted, some of the most common reasons for bed sharing were to calm a fussy infant, help the infant or mother sleep, and again, to facilitate breastfeeding. One of the other things is that there was a lot of inconsistency in the criteria being used to investigate parents for death by neglect, in terms of how much investigation was done, talking to other children in the home, conducting interviews, talking to doctors, requesting medical records, as well as focusing exclusively on co-sleeping does ignore other adverse exposures that an infant has, like to secondhand smoke. Some of the negative impacts on families that the Office of the Inspector General found in the review, first and foremost, is that this is extremely intrusive and emotionally harmful to children who or families who've lost an infant. While awaiting receipt of the infant's autopsy report, the family may be subject to a safety plan, which will require removal of children from the home. Again, in our review, we've looked at situations where surviving children had been removed from their parents for 7, 8, and 9 months while a full autopsy was being waited on. Now, a preliminary autopsy report is usually in fairly quickly. Absent unusual circumstances, the pathologist will usually know why a child died, but according to Department of Children and Family Services procedure, the safety plan is placed until the full written autopsy is received, which in places like Cook County, due to a backlog, can take several months. One of the other really important negative consequences is that there's severe negative employment consequences for families indicated for death by neglect. A finding of death by neglect remains on the register for 50 years. which means that individuals working in healthcare or with children are effectively barred from employment. We've looked at cases where individuals who've lost a child are in school to be a CNA or other similar programs where the value of their degree will basically be worthless when they get out because they have an indicated finding against them. Another concern is that there was a disproportionate impact on poor families in terms of low quality bedding, which seems to result much more frequently in accidental asphyxiation. In addition, families of lower socioeconomic status or who lack legal resources are unlikely to seek administrative review of the department's finding. And this is tremendously important because in all of the administrative law findings that we reviewed, the uniform law judges uniformly overturned the indicated findings from the department. And in the reasoning, they determined that basically the evidence did not support a finding of death by neglect, that there was no blatant disregard. The act of lying down with an infant to nurse or comfort a child does not demonstrate the blatant disregard for the infant's safety. Furthermore, an autopsy finding of undetermined created a barrier indicating a parent for neglect. And that, again, parents did not act with blatant disregard because they co-slept when the child needed extra care or comfort. So in his essence, what the administrative law judges have said through their decisions is that not only does the department need to show an intent that the parent intentionally fell asleep, not that they accidentally fell asleep, but in addition that intent of the parent to sleep was malicious and had a blatant disregard and wasn't done with the purpose of comforting their child or trying to keep them safe.
Okay.
So in conclusion, our office has done a tremendous amount of work recommending against this policy, this practice by the Department of Children and Family Services. This is a public health issue. This is not an issue that is appropriate for the child welfare. These deaths are many of them are preventable public health issues, and they're issues of health equity. And the response really should not be a punitive child welfare response that comes in retroactively. The state really needs targeted educational initiatives to address health disparities, promote safe sleep, and really understand the reasons why parents are co-sleeping and work with them to find ways to keep their children safe. Thank you.